Welcome back to the Hollywood Casino Press Box featuring Frank Cusimano and Martin Kilcoyne on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Gotta get away, I don't know where to go. It's hopeless, so I guess I'll leave it alone.
Welcome back, Hollywood Casino Press Box, all new 590 The Fan, Hollywood Casino title sponsor. Head on out there for one of their great concerts, Hollywood Amphitheater, best place to watch a concert in St. Louis. And you can also go to 99 Hops House before and after, maybe a great steak at Final Cut Steakhouse, Charlie Gito's, all-you-can-eat buffet. The crab legs are unbelievable. I just love heading to Hollywood Casino, our title sponsor.
Cards and Cubs tonight. It's an early start on Thursday, but night games throughout, no day game here. 10 left head-to-head with the Cubs. You're 3-6. Against Chicago this year. Got to turn that around. Winning all three at home, losing all six up there, but 10 left head-to-head with the Cubs.
All right, let's welcome the great Dr. Rick Lehman to the program. Dr. Rick, good to be with you. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Very good. Millions should stop popping aspirin for heart health. The perception is taking aspirin a day, it's a good thing for you. Maybe not.
You know, it's so again, this is one of these things where your whole life you said, tell everybody to take an aspirin. It prevents strokes. It prevents heart attacks. And then all of a sudden, somebody does this monstrous study and says, not so fast. Now, I think a lot of it has to do with some of the supplements people are already taking, omega-3s and anti-inflams and some of the other things. But so far, the last two giant studies have shown no benefit to taking an aspirin anymore. So, again, all those people out there that I told over the last 30 years to take an aspirin, you can kind of stop.
Well, what was the science initially? I mean, how did they quote unquote get it wrong?
Well, so what happened was they looked at all these people that had had some type of cardiovascular event, strokes, heart attacks, blood clots, anything, and they gave half the group aspirin, half the group didn't get aspirin, and it was a baby aspirin. They took it every day and they followed them for 10 years. And they looked at the people in the two groups to decide what the percentage of heart attacks, stroke, et cetera, were. And they clearly showed a difference in men and maybe a difference in women about recurrence of any kind of heart problem or any kind of cardiovascular event. And so what happened was everybody went on aspirin because it showed, you know, this benefit. Now what they're saying is the benefit's no longer there, and they're attributing it to a lot of the supplements people take, dietary changes, and the fact that, you know, maybe the studies weren't done as well as they could have been done, really looking at differences in cardiovascular events. So, you know, they think that the studies are done better now and just don't show much of an effect. But if you're on omega-3 or anything that thins your blood, it's going to probably do a better job than an aspirin.
All right. There's also a report out about the heat stress in athletes. It's kind of a hot safety topic. I think most of us are under the impression that if you're out there in the hot, you know, 90 degree temperatures, it's kind of good for you. You're getting a workout, getting a good sweat, but maybe not.
Well, you know, it's interesting. So you think that out of all the people that could withstand being in the heat, it'd be young, healthy athletes. You know, that'd be the best cardiovascular situation you could be in. You know, if you're older, not as good, you're mowing your lawn, you're older, yeah, you're going to get heat stroke. But as it turns out, 15 to 19, very, very susceptible to heat disease. And so, again, it gets back to the same thing. If you're going to work out, try to work out early in the morning or when the sun's going down. And athletes probably are very susceptible, and it probably has to do with the tone in their vascular system. But, you know, if you're going to go out and you're going to work out in the heat and you're 15, 19, 18, 20 years old, you got to hydrate, you want to take your breaks. And I think the biggest thing for us in the sports world, and, you know, we probably started doing this 15, 20 years ago, is saying, look, these are mandatory breaks for everybody. You see it in the NFL, you see it in the NBA. So you practice for a while and you say, all right, everybody, you know, off the court and take five, get some water, a little Gatorade, whatever, a little stretch. And I think that's made a big difference, especially in our track athletes, saying, all right, we're going to work out this amount of time, and then we'll have a mandatory break for everybody on the track. And I think that's been helpful. But, again, if you think you're immune because you're young, you're not immune.
I always wondered how healthy it was for these guys, that, you know, the bigger players, specifically like a football camp, where they'd lose 13, 15 pounds in one practice, and, you know, then they'd go eat a huge lunch or dinner and get it back. But I would think on your body, that's got to be hard to just drop 13, you know, dropping a huge number at a practice.
Well, so as you know, every practice is monitored for dehydration, water in, water out, food in, food out, calories, et cetera. I mean, it's pretty specific, and it's athlete specific. And based on that, these guys that go in football practice, Corey Stringer kind of world, and they're going to practice and they're going to lose 12 to 15 pounds, puts an unbelievable stress on your kidneys, an unbelievable stress on your liver, and eventually, as the dehydration mounts, an unbelievable stress on your cardiovascular system. So when you take all that fluid out, your heart obviously has to pump harder because it's pumping less fluid. So, you know, the well's working more and more and more, and it is extremely unhealthy. Well, it gets back to what you should do is you should hydrate more aggressively during practice. The problem is you're in full pads or you're in partial pads. You got a helmet on, so you're not dissipating the heat. It's, you know, 95 degrees. You weigh 315 pounds. You have insensible losses of 15 pounds. I mean, that's just a heart attack waiting to happen. So you're 100% right. That's probably the least healthy thing you could ever do.
All right. Interesting study about excess belly fat linked to early death among normal weight women. And what we're talking about are women who are okay weight-wise, but had a central obesity. That means a waist circumference of more than 34.6 inches. And they're a third more likely to die within a two-decade period?
So this is a whole thing, because basically what used to be believed was that if you had big hips or big thighs, you know, that was a bad thing, and cardiovascularly. So then, you know, this whole big hip, big thighs, Nicki Minaj, Kim Kardashian, the big thing, you know, was to grow your butt or do something to make your butt bigger. And then people started studying normal weight women who just had, you know, who were what we would call, as opposed to pear-shaped, apple-shaped. And so they had more mass in their midsection. They didn't really have a big butt. And their weight, their BMI was under 25. And what they found was these people are all dying. So if you have high incidence of belly fat, that's terrible. That's just as bad as being way overweight. And it doesn't really matter how big your butt is. If your butt's big, that has no effect on cardiovascular. It doesn't, you know, you can have a giant butt, you can be fat, but if you have midsection belly fat, your incidence of dying goes through the roof. And so the bottom line there is, again, you have to lose enough weight so that your mid circumference is less than 34, you know, your pant size less than 34, which sounds like a lot. But if you go and you start measuring people, there's a lot of people out there, you know, whose belt size are greater than 34.6.
That sounds a little doom and gloom. We need some fun, weird topics. Text in to Dr. Rick, the founder, the medical director of the U.S. Center for Sports Medicine. That's 855-282-8255. That is the number to text in your questions for Dr. Rick. And the great thing is he scans all the medical headlines sometimes, and it kind of ventures into pop culture too. We got Cardi B and these gals growing their big butts. I think they're even doing, weren't they doing like butt implants?
Yeah, well, I don't, you know, get that.
I mean, that's so weird.
That's a big surgery. I mean, that's a very popular surgery still. and you know, you get these, they're not breast implants, but they're made of the same thing. And they put these butt implants in, and, you know, and for some reason that's turned out to be a huge positive plastic surgery thing that women are doing today. And nothing could be less healthy than having a butt implant, because it's a high fat area, doesn't have great blood flow, and so the risks are much higher than, let's say, having breast implants. And I'll tell you, it's a craze. So it's hard to understand.
Okay, so Dr. Rick, I know that like people like strive to have a six pack, but sometimes you just don't have the body to have a six pack. But everybody can strive to have as less weight around the waist as possible. So there's a lot of men out there listening. There's maybe some women out there listening. What would you recommend in terms of getting a slimmer waistline?
So, So it really does matter how big your waistline is. So it's not just a, you know, it's not a bogus thing. If you're 32, you're okay. If you're 35, you're not okay. So what do you got to do? Number one, you got to things we've talked about. You got to decrease your carbs. You have to get on a mid-trunk strengthening program, and that should be planks. If you want to do sit-ups, that's fine. However you want to work your mid-trunk, but a lot of core strengthening exercises. Crawling around on the ground, mountain climbers, all those exercises, and then a lot of obliques. So you lay on the ground, you get yourself whatever you want to use, a basketball, and you're going from side to side. You've seen those exercises on TV shows, workout shows, and those oblique exercises are the most important you can do, and they will trim you down those in planks will trim you down in a hurry. And if you know what planks are, on the internet, Google planks. There's all kinds. There's probably 40 or 50 different kinds of planks. But you get on all fours, basically, put your elbows on the ground and your toes, flex up your toes, and you try to sit there for as long as you can sit there. You're going to get this pain in your belly. The other thing that really works well, those little ab roller things. So you're just kind of on your knees and you're going to roll out and try to get fully extended. So four or five exercises, 15 minutes, 10, 15 minutes a day. And you will slim your midsection down in no time.
Dr. Rick, also there's dietary supplements that some have been billed and marketed to increase your brain power, your brain strength, and yet we're now hearing that's not good for you.
So I think in general, the supplement business, which is a multi-billion dollar business, is just every, you know, these are scientific articles in the pop culture. But when you look at these articles and someone really breaks down, and, you know, that just makes sense, right? You're going to take this pill and you're going to get smarter. Does that really make sense to anybody? Of course it doesn't. So I think any supplement that you have to be a little bit skeptical. And so these things probably are actually bad for you. But anything you think you're going to take that's going to make you smarter or make your eyes better or, you know, you got to step back and say, does this really, first of all, if this were true, wouldn't everybody be smarter? We'd all be taking this stuff. That's the first thing. And the second thing is, you know, how can that be? So something that just doesn't make sense just doesn't make sense.
In honor of all this conversation about the butt injections, we have a little bit of a song right here. Go ahead, Flossie. You other brothers can't deny.
When a girl walks in with an itty-bitty waist and a round thing in your face. Do they go to the doctor now and they just say, just give me the full Kardashian? You know, and that just means that your rear is going to come out and be huge. It's so weird. Like, the longer you live, the opposite will always be true. You know, women are always, is my butt too big? Honey, is my butt too big? Is my butt? And now people are wanting that. I give up.
Well, you know, it's weird because back in the day, whenever that was, you know, the Twiggy era, you couldn't be too thin, right? It didn't matter how skinny you were. And if you had a big butt, I mean, you know, you were supposed to wear baggy clothes. And now if you have a big butt, you go right to Lululemon, get the tightest thing you can put on and just, you know, let that cheese get really in there. And I just don't really understand this change in philosophy, but it has changed.
Did you say get the cheese really get in there?
You know how they like that?
No.
I think
I know what you mean. I just hadn't heard that phrase. That's all.
Somebody once said about those Lululemon pants, though, wearing those pants is a privilege, not a right. All right, here's another one. Please ask Dr. Rick about pancreatic cancer. Alex Trebek, recently diagnosed stage 4, has almost fully recovered after treatment in California. Can Bob Gibson get the same treatment, and is this new treatment only offered in California?
So in California, what they're doing is they're taking cells out of the tumor. They're making a treatment specifically for that one tumor, making antibodies that are specific to that tumor, and then re-injecting them both in the tumor and then vascularly. And I think Bob Gibson is at Johns Hopkins in Baltimore, if I'm not mistaken. I'm pretty sure that's right. And I don't know exactly what treatment he is undergoing, but the treatment protocol in California was started by a neurosurgeon who's a very bright guy who I know fairly well. And this treatment is a one-off treatment. So, yes, Bob Gibson could go. I would be surprised if they're not doing something similar at Johns Hopkins, but I don't know that for a fact.
Very good. Dr. Rick, good stuff. Oh, wait, there's one more here. This is from one of our texters. Is it safe to get testosterone therapy if you have low T?
Well, that's yes. I mean, it's safe and you should. And that's, if you have low T, that's what you should get. You should go get your blood drawn and get your total T and free T measured. And if your testosterone is less than 600 or 700 or 500, you should try to build it up to about 800 or 900. And, you know, if it's 200, you want to build it up to 800 or 900. So, yes, it's very safe, and it's probably one of the healthiest things you could do if your testosterone's low.
Good stuff, Dr. Rick. We'll talk to you soon. Thank you, sir.
Take care.
All right. Gatesworth sponsors that segment. Finest in Senior Living, 170 in Delmar, 1 McKnight Place. The answer is always yes when you call onto the front desk. The activities are endless. The food is outstanding. It's just a great way to spend the sunset of your life. We'll take a break. We're coming right back after this.